Don't move. Keep it locked. You already know. You are listening to the Forfeit Fatherhood Podcast. And we're having conversations with dope dads covering the four pillars of fatherhood. We call it the Fit Fatherhood Formula. Faith, family, finance, and fitness. That's right. These dads are setting the pace in business and fatherhood. This show isn't only about the outside success. We're getting down to who you are. Gentlemen, it's time to get fit. And now, let's get into the show.
All right. Welcome back to the Forfeit Fatherhood Podcast, a podcast for fathers by fathers, where we talk about the four pillars of fatherhood, which are faith, family, finance, and fitness. And I know you guys are excited to have another guest. You're tired of hearing me talk myself. So I'm excited too. I'm excited to get to talk to this guy and kind of learn a little bit about his fatherhood journey. Today, our guest is Sergio Nazzaro. Sergio, how you doing, brother?
Dude, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me on. It's a real honor to be on this podcast. And I just love the four pillars that you have. And yeah, I'm stoked to be here.
Yeah. We're excited to have you. Hey, Sergio, tell us a little bit about yourself, man. I know that they've probably heard a little bit about you at this point, but tell us yourself a little bit about you.
Yeah, listen, man, I ended up serving my country in the Air Force after 9/11. I went to the Air Force Academy and I was an officer in the Air Force for about 11 years. Dude, got out, struggled with PTSD pretty bad and had to really spend the next about 7 years of my life figuring out who I was as an individual. And that kind of all led me to being emotionally available to meet my wife. And I met my wife at work. We went on a date. It was the worst date of my life. 2 years later, we got back together. And after that, right, we ended up getting married. A week later, we bought a house a week later. And then a week later after that, we found out we were pregnant. So that was 14 months ago. And now here we are. And I would say I am a business performance coach out here in Denver, Colorado, and life is pretty good.
Yeah, man, that's interesting. So let me ask you a quick question. I mean, 9/11 is obviously a big deal for all of us. Were you thinking about getting into the military prior to that, or was that just kind of what thrust you further into it?
There was this conversation that I had briefly had with my dad. So we grew up really poor. And weren't going to have any money for me to go to college. And my dad presented an opportunity to go to the Air Force Academy. And he packaged it really well and like convinced me like, hey, this could be it. I was like, oh, cool. This is it. But I hadn't put too much thought on it. You know, I was just like, okay, this could be an option. 9/11 happened my senior year of high school. And I had never felt like this strong calling in the core, in my gut, to call myself to like serve at a higher purpose. And so it was that point where I was like, Dad, I have to go to the Air Force Academy. Like, this is no longer an option. It's a necessity. And so it kind of did force me into it, even though that was kind of in the periphery of my life.
Okay. All right. I mean, listen, we needed guys to go. I was a freshman, I think, when it happened. I remember I had just walked on campus and we had like a cafe. We go on campus. All the football guys used to meet in the cafe in the morning before we went to classes or pretended to go to classes or whatever guys are going to do that day. And I remember walking in and the TV was on and people are gathered around and I'm like, this never happens, right? It's normally like a bunch of noise and people are, you know, laughing, messing around. It's drop dead silent. TV's on and everybody's kind of huddled around the TV. So I'm like, what's going on? Like, what are we watching? I'm thinking it's a movie. Like, this doesn't look like it's a real thing. This is obviously a movie that we're watching. And one of my teammates told me what was going on. And we just sat there. We missed whatever class I had that I got on campus for. I missed that one for sure. We just sat there and watched like the whole team. And I remember, you know, calling my now wife and talking to her about it and then talking to my parents. And like, this was like, you know, one of those moments where forever in your life, people are going to ask you where you were. One of those moments where you remember exactly what you were doing. And it's one of those things that are cemented in everyone's life or everyone's mind in history. Mm-hmm. So let me say it now. Thank you for your service.
I appreciate that. It's wild how it can shape an entire country. I felt like that to me, that was like the last time that everybody was kind of like moving towards the same direction.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It definitely forced everybody to kind of band together. It was like a real us versus them moment, you know, where everybody was kind of united in this tragedy, and then and where we're gonna go going forward. All right. So you were in the military for how long? 13 was it 13 years?
So I went to the Air Force Academy. That's 5 years because I wasn't smart enough to get in my first year, so I had to go to like a prep school, and then I served. Yeah, and then I was in the operational Air Force as an officer for 6.5 years, so 11 and a half total. And the only reason I got out so quickly is I was supposed to go to pilot training. That's going to be a 12-year commitment. But I decided, like, damn, I don't know if I want to commit at, you know, 22 years old to the next decade and a half of my life. So I decided to go a different route. And it all culminated with like a deployment to Afghanistan. And then after that, I saw what we were doing. I was like, you know what? I think I'm good. So I got out.
Okay. Okay. How was the, well, I mean, it kind of got you out. So I'm assuming that the experience in Afghanistan wasn't the most pleasant. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, man. I think it's, I've done a lot of work in exploring this. You know, one of the very first day that I landed in Afghanistan, right, we're at Bagram Air Force Base in northern Afghanistan. And I'm headed to my, you know, to my room, and sirens start going off and the base is getting attacked. And we have incoming rockets. And for the year leading up to that, I had done all this preparation work and all this training work. And as that happened, I was like, what the fuck? And I hit the ground, I hit the deck. I'm just laying there and I felt like a coward, man. Like, and that was just day one. Like, I felt like everything that I had learned had failed me. I felt like I had failed me, and like, I still had 7.5 months to go. And so the stuff that I saw over the next few months, the ability to be in a combat arena and really come face to face with death a few times, and then finally accept that, like, hey, if it's my time, it's my time. I'm not going to run from this anymore. That's a very surreal experience that shapes you forever. And so I used to look back on that with like very, like, I don't want to say frustrating eyes or like, you know, uncomfortable feeling, but now I can look back at that and it's given me a lot of experience and a lot of perspective on stress, life, the ability to navigate the outer boundaries of who you are as an individual, and you really test yourself. And so I can look back on that now and say it's one of the best things that I ever experienced.
Yeah, it's funny. I've had several vets on the podcast that have talked about their experience during deployment and just their experience in service in general. And it no matter how good or bad that time frame of their life have been, for those that have kind of worked through it, and it sounds like you've worked through it a little bit, it always seems to set the stage for what they do next and kind of prepares them to take on any of life's challenges. Like I would imagine being face to face with death, as you just mentioned, prepares you for whatever else is to come, right? Like everything else is kind of like pales in comparison in terms of like your ability to stare it down, overcome it, and keep moving forward. I did not have the privilege of going to the Army or any of the armed services. I lived in a community that was a war zone for a large portion of my life, but never for my country. And so I know from the experiences that I had growing up, it definitely forced me to kind of take the world in a different lens. And I see that a lot and hear that a lot when I'm talking to guys who are in the service is kind of like, you know, the ability to take on the world without, I don't know, being it's kind of like I don't want to say victim, right? Because people have their experiences and they are what they are and it is what it is. But I feel like service guys, just like whatever is happening, I can handle it, right?
Sometimes. But I've come across, like, and, you know, I appreciate you sharing kind of like your upbringing. Like, it's just because mine was in a combat arena because the United States of America decided to go into a war does not make that, you know, what I saw any less or any more impactful, harmful, hurtful than what you experienced, it sounds like, as a kid. Mine was just in this container that we like to call war. And because it's in war, now I'm a hero and you're from the neighborhood, right? Like, so like, that's not fair in my opinion. And I also think that like this victim mentality, like there are some veterans who can work through it and it refines them. And then there's other veterans that never work through it and it simply defines them for the rest of their life. And that's that victim mentality. Like, oh, I can't get ahead. I struggle with PTSD. Oh, I can't get ahead. It's this. And it's like, yeah, but there's tools and resources for us to work through it. So you simply can't blame it forever. And so if you can work through it and get on the other side of it, which is different for everybody, there's a lot of power in it, just as you know and I know, because it does shape you and you do have a different perspective.
Yeah. I like that. So when you say work through it, did you do therapy and kind of go that route?
I did. First, I turned to drugs and alcohol, which are super fun, but not very productive. I did that for a couple of years, and then I went to seek professional help, right? I found a therapist. I went to couples therapy I went to individual therapy for 2 years. Also did couples therapy. That's a later story, but I went to individual therapy for 2 years, really worked through it, started to identify who I am, what I stood for out of the military. Because don't forget, I'm going through this identity crisis after being in the military for 11 years, and I'm going through PTSD, and all of the catalyst for this was the thing that's always a catalyst for this, a lovely breakup with a girl. So I'm sitting here being like, cool, my heart's broken. I have no clue what's going on. And so I really doubled down on me, and I worked through it through that process.
Yeah, I think that's really important to point out, and kind of why I was working in that direction with the line of questioning is because I think a lot of guys, I talk a lot about like the father wound where dudes are you know, didn't maybe have the father that they wanted or the father that they needed or a father at all. Right. And then when it gets to them being a father, there's these struggles, right? Because you don't have an example. You don't have a frame of reference. You really don't know how to be a father. And so you struggle with, I mean, really none of us know how to be a father until we become a father and work on it. But I think a lot of times we turn to drugs and alcohol, or we run from being a father, or we bury ourselves in our work, when what we should or could, I hate to say should or could, but what we can do, it's like you mentioned, to double down on yourself, work on becoming a better man, work through some of your issues with a professional, and kind of figure out what it is that you can do to become a better version of yourself, to be a better version of yourself for your family, for your kids, for your wife, whoever, right? And I think a lot of times we shy away from that, because of maybe the stigma tied to it, because of maybe the societal pressures of quote unquote being a man, you know, and not needing help or being strong, and not suffering. And so I that's why I kind of was asking, you know, did you go to therapy?
Yeah.
Did you do any of that stuff? Because I think it's really important, you know.
I agree with you. And I think, you know, my part of me had to die in order for me to go step into that room. And that's why I make the joke about a breakup being the catalyst, but this pain and this trauma that happened because of a girl was what I needed to be the final thing to fully break me. And it broke me to the point where like these tattoos, these all show no go muscles. I was just like, hey man, like, I'm going to have to step into this and like really go toe to toe in the one arena that I've never actually explored. And that's inside myself. So it's some of the hardest work you're going to do. And I feel like if guys just knew that, like, that this is going to be like a, no different than working out, and it's going to allow you to have this superpower of you being a man, I feel like more guys would do it, because it's not, you're not in there just talking about your feelings and crying. You're doing that and you're actually becoming more of who you were meant to be. You're revealing yourself. And like, that's the gift that you need to give back to the world and your family and whoever you come in contact with. But if you can't find that man, then you can never really give that man back.
Yeah. I like that. So let's stay there for a second. If I'm a guy that's struggling, right. And it could be any number of things. We all have issues. We all have things going on. Would you say, what would be the first thing that I should do? Should I reach out to a professional, or should I get coaching, right? Is another option, or, you know, what, like, cause I think a lot of guys struggle with it. And because we don't ask for help, we have no idea what the resources are for help. Right. And so we're completely blind to that being an option. But if I'm a guy that's listening to the podcast and want to be a better father, better man, like what are maybe some of the steps that I could take to do that? Because people have been telling me, if, you know, go to therapy or talk to somebody, but is that doesn't seem real to me. So what should I be doing?
I think the first step of all this is like, how do you want to feel? Like, what do you want? Like, let's just start with that baseline. Like, what do you want? You'd be like, well, I don't know what I want. Well, then do you want to continue to feel like the way you're feeling forever, like the way you're feeling now forever? And if the answer is no to that, then it's simply like being willing to like put your hand up and ask for help. And help can look very different for all different men. It can look like talking to your spouse and see if they'll go find a therapist for you because maybe you don't feel secure about it. Or talking to a buddy or a coworker who maybe you feel really comfortable with and letting them know what you're struggling with. Or finding maybe a healthy influencer or somebody online that you can reach out to as a coach and trying to connect with them that way. And I think a lot of times where we get caught up is we don't want the people that are the closest to us to see us fall.
Mm.
But the fall is going to come either way. And so you can either choose to delay it and the fall is going to be worse, or we can start to have the conversation of, well, what would it look like if I started? And so I think it's one of those, reach out to somebody that you know, reach out to somebody who maybe has been in therapy before, or find yourself a coach online or Instagram or TikTok or YouTube or whatever, and consume that content to help you move through it until you're ready to go find your own.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, I think a lot of it is self-reflective, right? Like we have to be able to look in the mirror and see yourself for who you are, where you're at. And like you said, ask those questions of yourself. Like, do you want to feel like this forever? Is this who you are, who you want to be? And then if it's not, then you have to start taking those steps in the right direction, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's get back to fatherhood. We're going to come back to this though, because this is really important. Like I say at the beginning of it, all of it, you know, being a better father is the core of it is becoming a better version of yourself, because whatever title you put on that is elevated by a better man at the core, right? And so we definitely will come back to that. But let's talk about fatherhood. So your father, 14 months now?
Yeah, he's 14 months. In the thick of it right now.
I was gonna ask how is that right now, man? You got a 1 year old, but very very new. How's that going?
Listen, I think I never wanted to be a dad. I had no desire to ever become a father. I was sure I was never going to have kids. And then I met my wife. And one of the first conversations we had was, hey, if we're going to date, I need to know that you're going to want to have kids. I was like, right now? She's like, no, not right now. She's like, well, maybe in 5 years from now. I was like, okay, cool. I can wrap my mind around that. And so when he was born, I don't want to say I had this instant connection to him, because I didn't. But around 6 months, the first time I saw him smile at me, I was like, whoa, I am hooked on this. And I was born with a great dad. We had a falling out and then we came back together. And now that he's 14 months, like I'm in this spot where like when he looks at me, like I'm just like, dude, I want to be the best version of me for you. And like, it's hard. It's one of the hardest things I've done, because it's constant sleep deprivation for us right now. And at the same time, I've never loved something like this before. And so if you don't have a kid, it's hard for me to be like, oh, it's going to be something like you've never felt. It's just something you have to experience. And it's not for everybody, but I'll tell you, when he starts crying in the middle of the night, this might kind of like land this plane here a little bit, but when he starts crying in the middle of the night at 2 a.m., and it's like the second time I've had to get up, I never get mad at him, because like, I know that moment when I get to like hold him and like calm him down and he's laying with me, like those moments are fleeting. So I'm going to soak it up. But if I'm tired, I'm tired. But like, I'm going to live into that, because all he wants in that moment is, well, he wants his mom, but I go in there sometimes and I'll let him have me. Right. And it's just, it's awesome, man. Like there's no frustration. There's no anger. It's just, I love you and I'm here for you.
Yeah. Those moments, like you said, are definitely fleeting. And I think a lot of times we get frustrated, not at the kid necessarily, but at the situation. Like, oh, it's the third, fourth time I had to wake up. I'm not getting any sleep. But I think in those moments, what you mentioned, right, is you get a chance to share like a pure moment. And there's not a whole lot of them in the world, right? Like these pure moments where it's just you and them, and that connection is something that is really, really hard to explain to somebody who's never experienced it. but it is a reoccurring once in a lifetime experience, right? Because that moment is that moment and you never get it again. And that's why it's so precious. And that's why it's so pure. Like, it's almost a privilege to get up that third time, that third time, and go in there and be a hero, right? To be a hero to that kid who can't figure out why they can't go to sleep. They know they're tired, but they don't really know what tired means. And they just need somebody to figure that out for them and get them sleep. And those moments are super, super precious, man. Like, I heard somebody say the other day, you only get 18 summers with your kid. Right. Because then at 18, they become an adult. 18 is not a big number. Like, it, if you, even if you said 18 years, it seems like that's a long time, but it's really not, you know? And so just taking that perspective or that lens on those moments where it's like, I really could be sleeping right now. Would you just go to sleep? It's really important, man. That's a really good way to look at it.
But yeah, and I think having a partner in that too, especially a committed partner, I'm very grateful for this. Like, we're working together really well as a team. It makes those moments where, like, we're experiencing it at the same time, and then I see her see it, and now her and I are experiencing this moment down here. And now there's like this really, there's this depth to the relationship because it's her and I, and it's her and me and Luca and our son. And I'm like, dude, these are things I'm going to carry with me forever.
Yeah, 100%. You mentioned something at the beginning of this when you're talking about your son. You talk about not wanting to be a father. You never thought about you being a father. What's the reasoning there?
I just don't like kids, man. I just don't like them. You know, like, kids are gross. Like, other people's kids come up to me and wipe stuff on me. I'm like, get this kid away. You know, they start screaming. And like, when it's an other kid, you're like, damn, dude, just shut your kid up. Like, on an airplane, I used to be the guy that'd be like, can you just, I wouldn't say this, but in my head, I'd like, you know, I have like these angry looks, like, just shut your kid up. And I get so frustrated. And it's not that I like kids more now, but I have an appreciation for it. But up to that point, I was like, kids are disgusting. This is gross. But I also felt the same way about other people's dogs. Like, I didn't like other people's dogs that would come and drool on me. So I think it was like a me thing. Like, I needed to own it, you know? And then once I had it, and I was like, oh, this, I see why y'all wanted to be in this club. This is a cool club. So I just think it was, maybe I've been a germaphobe. I don't know, man.
Well, listen, man, kids are gross. They have no, especially little kids, right? They have no concern for like what you have on or what you're wearing. They don't care about bodily fluids. They don't, you know, they just touch you with like slimy, snotty hands. And yeah, they're gross, man. They're definitely gross. So look, you're definitely valid in your feelings with and people's dogs are gross too. Like, get your dog out of here. Like, I wanted to be a veterinarian as a kid, right? I love animals, love dogs. I've always had a dog. Got a dog now, but other people's dogs are like, yo, get him away from me. Like, why? Like, I don't want to pet him, but you know, like, I like him. He's cool. Like, yeah, it's a beautiful dog. Now stop. He shouldn't be sniffing my leg right now. Get him out of here. Like, I go to my parents' house,
for sure.
And, they've got a dog now that we're all out of the house. They got a little Chihuahua, and, my dad treats it like it's his kid. They can't go anywhere without the dog. When we go, we sit on the couch, and the dog feels like the couch is his. So he'll just like come sit on your lap, and I'm like, bro, like, get out of here! Like, I got on a new shirt. I got dog hair all over my shirt. Like, get out of here! And I like, you know, I have to quietly like shoo him away so they don't see me. But I feel you, man. And he likes to lick you. I'm like, get him out of here.
I do, and I think the other part of it, you know. It's the same. It's not that I didn't want to get married, right? I did. I knew that was something I wanted, but I didn't want to become a dad because I thought it was going to restrict what I was capable of doing. Like, I wasn't going to be able to achieve what I wanted to achieve in my life, in my business, in my health and fitness, right? You know, like, just experience the world. And I couldn't have been so far off. Like, the, the switch that went off me, the moment that my wife told me we're pregnant, I was like, oh, it's go time. like, I'm an entrepreneur. I got to run my own thing. And by, you know, so that lit fuel underneath me to be like, I got to go now. Like, I need to create some wealth now. I need to provide for my family now. I was like, okay, well, this will only last while she's pregnant. And then he was born and I see this kid. And while there wasn't that connection, what there was this deep desire inside me to be like, okay, this is my family now. And not from like, oh, I'm the provider, stay at home, babe. It's like, no, but I am the protector. That's how I looked at it. So it's my job to protect, provide, and be the man for my family. It changed. Like, and everything I thought it wouldn't be, it was better.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about that, because that's something I hear a lot when I'm talking to guys or coaching guys, working with guys, is that struggle and it seems like you've got it. So that's what I'm asking, of balancing that, right? Being able to go out and be the provider, be the protector, but then also be present and be in the home, you know, being a father and all those things, right? There's this kind of competing personality of like, I want to be really great in my business, but then I also want to spend time with my family. How are you managing that?
Listen, I, for the longest time, I said my family was the most important thing to me. Like, if somebody's like, what's the most important thing to you? It'd be like Lizzie and Luca. And it was only until recently that I realized my sole purpose, why I'm put on this planet for my career, is more important than my family. And I told my wife that, and she looked at me and I go, but I want you to see how these are connected. And I think this is what most men are missing. The reason I do what I do, my sole purpose, my calling, is because it makes me the best version of me. And when I'm the best version of me, I can create the income I want to provide for the family that I have, the experiences, the lifestyle, you name it. It also allows me to live a life that is fulfilled in the pursuit of my dream and my calling. And when my son sees that, he knows that anything is possible. I don't want to have to him to look at me one day and be like, Dad, I have this dream, and I have to look back and be like, you should do it. And then he goes, well, then how come you didn't do it? I don't want to have that. And so I'm able to tie what I do in my business and how hard I'm working to everything that is impacting my family and me. Because if I'm a better person, I'm a better father. If I'm full, I can be a better, you know, husband, all of it. And so it's those connection pieces that if we're not able to link those, then we think they're two separate worlds, and they're not. One can fuel the other.
Well, how did you get to that mindset though? Because I think a lot of guys are struggling making that connection. And it seems like you've made it really, a really strong one, and it makes complete sense hearing you say it. But how did you get to that?
I burned my life to the ground a few times. I was in the pit, man. Like, I don't know how else to say it. I neglected my wife, and we had to call off our wedding. You know, I went back to work 2-3 days after my son was born, and that didn't sit well with my wife. It didn't sit well with me. So there's a lot of mistakes along the way. And what I realized is I was doing the same thing in my fatherhood and my husband life that I did in the military. I had two separate identities. The officer, Sergio Nazaro, the captain in the Air Force, was very different than Sergio Nazaro, just the guy hanging out on the weekend, partying with his friends. Those two identities were not in alignment with one another. And so because there were some incongruencies there, I could never really mesh them up and move forward in the right direction. So I would constantly trip myself up. It wasn't until I came to the realization that I had to figure out what I wanted. And what I wanted in my life was to follow my purpose. I wanted to be a good father, a good husband, and I wanted to have a great connection with God and myself, and then a good body. Just a few things, right? Like, not a whole lot. But it was once I started to see these things and how they all were interwoven together, because I sat down, I was like, okay, money creates this for my family, but in order for me to create money, I have to work. Okay, I get confidence in my work by the way I work out, because I feel good in my body. I'm making the decisions for my family and my business and myself because I trust myself and I trust God. All right, cool. I'm seeing all of these interconnections, and I was like, okay. And then I felt the momentum start to build. And so I think what it takes is really sitting down and trying to build the connections. And even if they're loose connections, they're still connections, and you can strengthen those over time. But you have to start to look cross boundaries into all four pillars like you have them to see how things are related. Because then you can pull one lever. You're like, okay, if I work out today, that means I'm going to have more confidence in my business because I'll look good in my dress shirt because I did 200 push-ups. Oh, that might impact my sex life with my wife because now she's attracted to me. My son's seeing that health and fitness is important. Oh, and by the way, right, I feel good about myself. And so how do you create these ties?
Yeah, I love it. I love it, man. And I say this stuff all the time, and it's really good to hear somebody else say it as well. And it's always refreshing to see that, you know, when you find, and I think a lot of it is finding your purpose, right? Like when you talked about your purpose, kind of the reason why you're placed here, and finding that, pursuing that, and going after that allows you to do these other things and do them more abundantly. I think a lot of us lack purpose, right? We just don't know what we're doing. We're a ship without a, what do they say? We're a ship without a rudder. You know, we're just kind of going wherever the wind takes us. And I think that provides some conflict, some internal turmoil, right? Because you don't really know if you're, okay, do I really want to be the family man that I think I'm going to be? Or is this the right, or am I just working this job because I work in a job? Or, you know, not having a purpose is very difficult place to be in the world for a man. How did you discover your purpose? Like, how did you know you were doing your purposeful work, I guess?
Yeah. Get ready. I'm about to come full circle on this. I think they call it callbacks in comedy. 9/11 happened, and I was called to serve something that was larger than myself. And I did serve my country. And I kind of tied the bow on that after my deployment. Get back from my deployment, and all I wanted to do was coach CrossFit. That was it. I was like, I want to go do this. I want to start a gym and coach CrossFit. And I was helping people push past their barriers in CrossFit. So I was still in this level of service with other people. But $24,000 a year and $12,000 in credit card debt, for all you math nerds, those numbers don't add up. You can't do a whole lot in your life with that. So then when I got a tech job, I played it safe, and I was miserable. Only to wake up again to realize that I was called to be an entrepreneur. So I became a real estate agent. And the reason I became a real estate agent was because the whole reason I had to go to the academy is because my parents couldn't afford college. The reason they couldn't afford college is because they took bad advice from a real estate agent. And when they did, they both got fired from their jobs and we lost the house we were going to be in. We were homeless. That what allowed me to serve people in a different arena, in a different capacity. And for the last 6 years, I've built this. I've, you know, done really well in real estate. And now I'm at the top of this peak and I'm looking out and I'm like, huh, I've made a lot of mistakes as a son and as a father and as a husband and as a business owner. I had a heart attack along the way. And I'm looking at this being like, okay, I'm called to serve other people, to help them. And my sole purpose has always been to serve other people. But now what I realize it is to awaken the souls of men and women to see what is possible in their health, their fitness, and their careers, and their relationships. But that all started with simply a calling to go and serve my country. And so it's been this evolution, and I'm 39 years old, and I'm just figuring it out in this season of life, what it is for me. Because I kept asking the question, who am I and what do I want?
Yeah. Are you familiar with Brendan Burchard?
Yeah, I am. Yep.
So he has the book High Performance Habits, right? And one of the number one habits for high performers is they're always seeking clarity. And you mentioned there, you know, just continue to ask yourself the question, right? And I think, I mean, shoot, you sound like a high performer, right? You're a veteran. CrossFit, right? CrossFit and just in general, you got to be a high performer. Well, at certain levels of CrossFit, right? Obviously, good coaching CrossFit. My brother actually coaches CrossFit, and his wife is a competitor. But that requires a level of high performance. You know, you're doing well in real estate, high performance, right? You're coaching people now, high performance, and all of that comes from finding your purpose and asking yourself, you know, asking those questions and seeking clarity. And sounds like you're killing it, man. So let's go back though, because CrossFit coaching, you know, as a veteran, you obviously have to take care of your physical fitness. How do we have a heart attack at, well, I think it was 34 when you had a heart attack?
Yeah, 34. Dude, I still don't know. I have an idea of what it could be, but I don't know because all of my health markers indicate that I'm very healthy. Low cholesterol, low blood pressure. They said that my main artery in my heart is clogged. They're like, you're an anomaly. And so, knock on wood, I haven't had any problems since. But I don't know. I truthfully don't know. And it's one of those things that it happened and I was so angry at the world. I'm like, I do everything right. I do everything right. And yet this is happening to me. I went straight to the victim mentality. I was like, you know what? Psst, fuck this. I'm playing this card right now because I'll never play it. And sorry, I didn't mean to swear. I didn't even ask if I could swear on your show. But that happened. And I think it was one of those moments where, yeah, I think there's parts of me that are still trying to process that.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine, right? Because, you know, when we are doing all the things right and we're doing all the things that, you know, we're quote unquote supposed to be doing, if something like that happens to us, it makes you question everything, right? But I think something that comes from that, if I'm not mistaken, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you took that and it, instead of setting you back, it pushed you forward, right? Like instead of it being a obstacle in the road, you kind of took that and were like, okay, I'm a step my foot on the gas a little bit and kind of get after it. Would you say that that's a fair assessment?
It is, but I think it took a little time to get there. There was this thought in my mind of, am I going to be able to get back to the level of production and performance that I had prior to that? Not just in my physical health, but in my business. Am I going to be able to open up emotionally and like work through this and not put up these walls against my wife and the people who are trying to come in? So there's a lot of questioning around that. And I don't think I've fully processed the magnitude of it. I think I kind of was just like, all right, this happened. I'm alive. I'm not going to waste this opportunity. Let's go. So yeah, I do think it accelerated me and it allowed me to feel like I had a second chance, like I was gifted something really important. And so I don't take that part of it lightly.
Yeah, I spoke to someone else on the podcast several episodes back and had a similar situation where he had a heart attack just kind of out of nowhere, a veteran as well. Had a pretty serious situation. And for him, it was a very similar idea. Like it was difficult, really difficult at first to kind of process why this happened and how it could happen to somebody as fit or as healthy as he was. But I think ultimately it got him to a place where, you know, he realize that, like you said, you can't take this opportunity for granted, and you kind of have to move forward. But I think, and I can't compare anybody else's obstacles because they're all different, but I do think that we run into different things in our life that force us to question why, right? And through the process of figuring out why this happened or why it could have happened, we are also kind of solidified and reaffirmed that we are here still, and have the opportunity to move on in the right direction, or to continue in the direction we were going, if that's the right direction, or it stops us in our tracks and we have an opportunity to look at ourselves and go, hey, maybe I'm not doing all the things that I said I could do, or that I was able to do, or maybe that I should do. And now, like, let me double down and go after it. So yeah, man, that's wild. I can't imagine. I'm 40 now, just turned 40 in March, and I feel pretty healthy, but I don't know, you know, what would happen if I just had like one of those kind of major health scares, you know. I don't know what that would do to my family, you know, because I'm healthy, right? Like, I don't know how my family would handle it.
I mean, it's something you have to think about too. And I hope it never happens to you, yeah. But it's something that you have to kind of like play with in your own mind. And that's kind of like the thought that I've been having a lot recently. And it's not like this idea that I'm going to die or any of that, but it is this thought that like, I'm not immortal. I might think I am. I might take off my shirt and look in the mirror and be like, damn, I'm working out. I'm kind of look like a Greek god, but I'm not a god, dude. I'm just a regular dude. And it's this conversation that has me thinking, huh, if I'm gone, what is the legacy I'm going to leave with for my son? And what are the memories I'm going to leave with or leave my wife with? And how am I going to take care of them when I'm no longer here? And it's this driving force for me to constantly work on myself and impart the knowledge, the wisdom, the experience onto my son, Luca, and to create a space and hold the container for my wife to grow, rise as the woman that she is, connect with herself on a deep level, and be everything that she could possibly be because she feels safe in this relationship, so that if I do disappear one day, and it's earlier than expected, I know that I will have done everything to set them up because I will have taught them how to fish. I will not have fed them the fish.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. And that's really important, whether you have one of these life-altering events or not, is that you are doing all the things that you mentioned. Because like you say, you don't know when it's going to happen, right? And so, you know, taking for granted that you have, or that you are, you know, quote unquote, invincible, you know, taking care of your body and being physically fit and looking like a god, all those things are really, really important. But again, you don't know, right? And so if you aren't imparting into your family, if you're not pouring into your family and providing for them, not just in the moment, but in the unlikely situation that you aren't there, you know, that you're pouring into them knowledge and wisdom and love and also setting up things for when you're gone, I think those are really important. I think a lot of times we get caught up taking, you know, kind of taking for granted that we're going to be here, right? It's like I'm young still, right? And so I'm not thinking about the end of my life, but the reality is I don't know when that is. And so if I'm not, as a man and as a father, one, getting better each day for myself, and then two, trying to help them be better versions of themselves as well, then that's really what I'm taking for granted, right? I'm not really taking time for granted. I'm taking them for granted because I'm just expecting that I'm going to have the ability to do it. One of my jobs, we had the open enrollment for health benefits. And they have, this year they've added some extra accidental death and disability insurance, just kind of that the company's given away like an extra few hundred thousand. I'm like, oh, that's dope, you know, but I don't plan on getting hurt anytime soon. Like, you know, it's, but the reality is if I get hurt and I can't work or I can't provide for my family, like, what are they going to do? You know, what's going to happen? And so I think a lot of times we, again, like I said, we take for granted our ability to be here forever. And we really have to make sure that we are setting ourselves and our families up for the future. For us being there, and like I said, if we aren't able to be there in the way that we want to be.
Yeah.
So,
no, I think that's really powerful. I think that's why you want to invest in them, right? I think that's, you said that really well.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's invest is a great word to use, right? I think a lot of times we say sacrifice. And I think invest is a much better word to use there, right? Because it's, there's a return on an investment. When you sacrifice something, you're just giving it up, right? You're just letting it go, right? And we talk about, you know, I had to sacrifice my dreams or my goals or my whatever, right? Guys, you hear guys say that, you know, I went to take care of my family. So I sacrificed my dream of being a X, Y, or Z, or I sacrificed my time because I'm spending time with my kid or whatever. I think when you look at it as an investment, right? It's a different mindset, right? Like I didn't sacrifice anything. I invested my time, my energy into my family. And the return on investment is, you know, a better life, family, wife, you know, all those things. And so I'm glad you said invest, because that's a really important, I think, mindset shift for all of us to take.
Yeah.
So I do want to ask you, I mentioned you're a coach and you've been coaching. So is your coaching real estate oriented, or we coaching? Because I know I heard you say business, what does that entail when you're coaching? What are you doing?
Yeah, great question. So I'm coaching entrepreneurs or intrapreneurs, right? So it's really somebody who is usually married or just got out of a relationship. Usually they have kids and they're running their own business, right? And so we cover four domains, very similar to you, right? Our body, our being, which is our connection with ourself and our creator, our relationships with our spouse and our kids, and then our careers. And so it's this holistic thing, just kind of like talked about it, the interlinking of it all, the interconnection of it all. And it's really the awakening of people to see that, hey, the life you're living right now is simply just based on the stories that you're telling yourself. We need to break that frame so that you can see what is possible and then rewrite the stories for what you actually want. And so it's performance coaching. There's a lot of business associated with it. There's a lot of relationship associated with it. And I would say probably the underlying part of it, right, which is important, is your health and fitness. So yeah, we cover all four domains, very similar to your podcast.
I love it. I love it. I think it's very necessary. You know, the connections piece, and we mentioned a couple of times, but connecting the dots is really important, because all the things they kind of, it's like, it's almost like is the Venn diagram, the one with the circles, right? Or like all these overlapping parts, and they all cross at some point, right? And at different times, one may be more important than the other. Like you may need to put a little more focus on one thing as opposed to the other. But I think all of those things cross at some point. And when you're at your best, when you're optimal, when your performance level is at its highest, is in that sweet spot, right? Where the four areas kind of cross over, and you're able to be fully all of those things, right? You're able to kind of live, like I say, in that sweet spot of you know, taking care of your faith, taking care of your fitness, taking care of your family, and obviously your finances. And when those all four of those things are firing cylinders, life is really, really cool. You know, it's really special in that sweet spot.
And that pocket is crazy, like you said.
Yeah, it is. It is. And helping people get to that point is really, really important. And so I appreciate you for doing that work. You know, I was doing a little homework on you, and I saw somewhere, I think it was maybe your core values. You talked about integrity first, service before self, and excellence in all that we do. That excellence in all that we do part really, really rings true in those areas of your life, trying to achieve excellence. That's not to say you're going to be excellent, right? There's going to be ups and downs, and you're going to be good in some of those things and bad in some of those things, but striving for that excellence, in those areas is huge. How are you coaching guys to do that though? Like what are some of the things that they can do to be excellent in some of those areas? Like what's your advice, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's two things that we live by in my coaching. We have a code, and that's simply to stop lying and tell the truth. Tell the truth to yourself about where you're at. You have to own the facts of your decisions and your choices and everything that got you to where you are. And the only way to become excellent is to own the shit that you went through. And so I think that's a really big part of this. It's like we have to start to have some of these principles. And then the other part is it's simply getting clear on what you want. It's a simple question. What do you want? Everybody can tell me what they don't want. Very few people have the clarity to know what they do want. And so a lot of times we sit in that space of trying to figure out, well, what is possible? Like where you're at today obviously isn't working. What is possible? Let's paint that picture. Once we can kind of understand where we want to go and where we're at, then it's simply about like, okay, how do we get you there? Everybody's a little bit different, but there's tools and systems and processes and principles that we apply on the way that will transform you, not change you, but will transform you into becoming the man that you want to become so that you can define excellence and success the way that it looks to you. Because excellence for you may look very different than it looks for me.
Yeah, I like that, man. That sounds really good. You know, if I was a guy, and I'm not saying that I'm perfect at all, and I go see a therapist, and you know what's really cool about therapy, and you know, when you have an issue and something's going on, and you go to therapy to work through that issue, it's a little more intensive, right? And you kind of are a little more aggressive with your therapy, but once you get past that and you're kind of getting a little better at it. I always say it's like, it's almost like an oil change, right? Like I don't go super often, right? I don't get an oil change every day. But you know, even if my car is running well, I just go and get a check. And I could just go. It's like, it's time to go get the oil change. It's just a matter of time, right? The car runs so often, so many, you know, stops and starts and, you know, however many miles. And it's just time to go get it, you know, get the change, you know, check, get some checks, figure out what's going on, top off some fluids, you know, get some new air filters. You know, and so therapy is one of those things where it's not like you have to have an issue. But you just need to make sure things are getting worked on. And I think coaching is in some regards the same way, right? Coaching is like, therapy is more of like past, right? Working through things of the past, things that are happening in your past life. And the therapist can help you kind of pinpoint some of those things and work through some of those issues. I think with coaching, it's a little more forward focused, right? It's like, okay, we are here now, but where are we going, right? And your coach is kind of like your Waze, your map, your GPS, your travel guide, right? They can kind of say, okay, I know where you're at. Okay, tell me where you want to go. Okay, let's work on a path to get you there. Okay, you don't want toll roads? Cool. No toll roads, right? You know, don't make that left turn. Oh, man, you made that left turn. All right, let me show you how to get out of that left turn to go right and get back on the path. And I think a lot of guys, like going back to when we used to use actual maps, you know, on the road trip, and you have to pull over and go to the gas station to ask for directions. Most guys, we don't like asking for directions, but it is super necessary. It's super necessary for us to do so, and it's great that we have guys like yourself that are out there that can help. And a lot of guys listening to the podcast are entrepreneurs, right? Who are kicking tail in business and doing a great job in that regard, but, you know, maybe struggling in the household, or struggling with being a father, struggling with being a husband or a significant other if you're not married, you know, whatever that situation is, and struggling in their relationships, that need a guide, right? Or need somebody to talk to. Because we don't, right? We don't talk about those things. We just try to figure it out on our own, or we blame others. When, like you said, it's gotta be you telling the truth, right? You gotta tell the truth to yourself and be completely honest about where you are and where you want to go.
You said something really, really special there too. It's like most of the guys and girls that I know, they're really great in one area, possibly two. What I've come to realize, and this is why this whole interconnection piece is so important, is that when you're in flow and things are interconnected and they're all in alignment of the direction and the vision that you've casted for in your future, it's almost like when you hear a football player say the game slowed down and they saw the field differently and they were able to like see the play kind of develop and they were able to find the hole and hit it. Like you feel like you're playing at an advantage over everybody else. Whereas when it's one area of your life that is really accelerating and the other three are just a dumpster fire, you can never truly get any acceleration or watch the play and everything seems like it's super reactive. And so if you're looking to gain a superpower and really elevate yourself above your competition, this is how you do it. Get everything moving in the right direction and then watch how your life just starts to transcend what you think is possible.
I think there's a definitely it sounds like you're talking about like momentum almost, you know, you get the ball rolling, right? And then you get the next ball rolling and they're all rolling in the same direction. It's really hard to stop and it's really easy to keep going, right? Like once you get something moving, it's going to take something very, very strong to stop it from moving, right? And so once you get all of your areas in alignment and they're all rolling, like you got four wheels on the car, all four of the wheels are rolling in the same direction. I mean, it would suck for the front two wheels to be going forward and the back two to be going backwards and you'd be staying in the same place, right? And so it's about getting all four of those wheels on the road, getting them turning in the right direction, you know, overcoming some of those obstacles and maybe going over some of those bumps. But as long as they're moving in the right direction and in the same direction, things just kind of start happening the way that you want them. You start to get to the destination that you want to get to. So that's really, really cool. Look, I do want to ask you something Because I know we're getting close on our time here, and I don't want to take too much of your time, because I know as a father, time is extremely important. But I do want to ask you something that especially because you might be able to squeeze a nap in right now. And I know you might close your eyes for 6 or 7 seconds before you have to go do something. But I do want to ask you really quick. Obviously, a fatherhood podcast, you know, we're talking to dads and talking, you know, dads are listening. But for someone who has gone through all that you've gone through, experienced all the things that you have experienced, what does fatherhood mean to you? Because you're a relatively new father. What does that mean in the grand scheme of things for you?
I've had so many people tell me that they didn't want to have kids because they thought the world was a messed up place. And I have a responsibility to not only become the best father, but to impart that knowledge, wisdom, experience, what it means to be an emotional man, but also a masculine man, to take the feminine energy and the masculine energy as a father, bring those two together and create a space that is sacred and safe for my son and any future children that we have. That in knowing that they'll have that safety, they can then rise as the strong, independent children that they were meant to become. And in that rise, they can become the leaders that they are destined to be. And the only way that we can change where we are in this world that we live in is to provide our children with the opportunity to become the best versions of themselves. And the only way to do that is for me to continue to invest in myself. And my hope is that as a father who's raising their kids, that when another father sees me, he's like, damn, I want to be like that. I want to be like that. I want to be like that guy, the way he's acting, the way he's showing up. Because if you change one family, you can change a neighborhood. You change a neighborhood, you can change a community. And before you know it, that community has changed an entire city. So to me, it's a responsibility, and it's not a small one.
Yeah, yeah. So you talked about like people talking about the world and the way it is, and it's a bad world. If you think about it like this, if you have water, you put dirt on it, the water's not dirty. There's really only one option there, right? You can't, with the world, you can't like end the world, and you know, you can't snap your fingers and get rid of all the dirt, right? The only way to get rid of the dirt now is to pour in more clean water, right? The more clean water you pour in, it dilutes and it continues to do that until now you have only clean water. When we have fathers like yourself and like I hope to be, and hopefully the guys on the podcast that are listening, we go out into the world and we now pour into the world our energy as men, our ability as men. We teach our kids and our families, you know, the life lessons and values that we have. That's like adding more clean water to the cup, right? The more of us we have, like you said, we infect the community, we infect the city infects the county, the state, and it continues to expand until eventually all of the dirty water is now washed out and things are clean. And I think that's the only way we get there. And that's why this whole fatherhood thing is so important to me, or one of the reasons, right? Obviously, I love my children, but for the world to become a better place, I have a responsibility, as you mentioned earlier, having a responsibility to help do that. And it's probably not going to be in my lifetime, right? And I've come to terms with that, right? And it probably won't even be me, right? It may not be my children. It may be my children's children's children. But, you know, we have a responsibility to serve the community at whole, right? The world at whole. And the way we can do that is by, you know, infecting the community with good, clean, wholesome, you know, values and people and examples, and conversation to kind of move the world in the right direction.
Yep.
So yeah, I completely agree with that, man. I completely agree with that. All right, I had two more questions for you before I let you go, before I let you go take a nap. And this is kind of a two-part question. So you've got your YouTube channel, which we should probably, you know, at least mention at the end. So guys, go check that out. Before the podcast, I listened to or watched actually one of the videos, and I told him that I was ready to go. So you guys definitely check it out. But let's say now you're creating a video that's going to go out, and it's, you know, similar to the podcast. It's a video that you create, and it's just for fathers, right? It's you're just only sending that video to fathers. What do you want the message of that video to be?
Man, that's, you even told me about this, and this is tough. Listen, I think when it comes to fatherhood, it's going to come back to this idea of it's a responsibility. Like, you have been given a gift, and that gift is to impart knowledge and wisdom onto your children so that they can feel like they can become the best versions of themselves. And being a father, there's no playbook to this at all. You can't just come out and expect to know what it is that it is to be a father. But what you do know is that there are experiences that you had, good ones that you want to continue to carry through, and maybe bad ones that you want to change and adjust for your children. And as long as you have an awareness of who you are as an individual and the growth that you're doing as an individual and how that is impacting your family, I don't feel like you can go wrong as a father. As long as you're continuing to move in the right direction and your heart is in the right direction. And I'll always say this, that your intent with what you're doing is always your compass.
I like that. Intend what you're doing is always your compass. That's dope. All right, you got one more video that you're going to create. And this one, though, is private. There's only going to be a few people to see it. And that video is for your kids. What do you want the message of that video to be?
First and foremost, I want them to know how much I love them, how much I care for them, and how that everything that I've taught them up until this point has prepared them for everything. That the tools and the principles they have on how to go inward and find all the answers within themselves and to be open to what is possible, to have mentors, to understand who your friends are, to again, live in this state of awareness and live with intention. But that they're ready and that they're perfect the way they are.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. That's going to be a good video, man. That's going to be a good video. It's going to be heartfelt, I can tell.
Yeah. Can tell.
All right, man.
It's either that or I'm going to sing him an Eminem song. That's one of my favorites, but I don't really know. So we'll figure out.
they'll get it, right? They'll get it either way.
That's right.
All right, man. Listen, if guys are wanting to reach out, guys have listened to the podcast, they got to this point, they're like, hey, man, I really need to talk to Sergio. I really, really like what he has to say. How would they go about doing that? What's the best
follow
way
to me. Do that? Follow me on Instagram, Sergio.Nazaro. So it's Sergio.Nazaro. N as in November, Azzaro. So Sergio.Nazaro on Instagram. Send me a message. Follow me on there. And I'm happy to chat with anybody about my experience or what they're looking for.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. So fellas, you know what to do. Make sure you go follow. If you're driving and you couldn't write that down, you're at the gym, you don't have a pen. Don't worry. Go back and listen to it again or check the show notes. It'll be there, or the guest profile. You'll be able to check it out there. Sergio, thank you, man. I really appreciate it. Like I said, I know how important time is for a father. It's really important that you took this time out for us, and we certainly appreciate it. Do you have any closing remarks? Anything you want to say to the fellas before we get off here?
Yeah, just keep doing the good work. And Rod, I appreciate you having me on, man. This was wonderful. You're an amazing host.
All right. Thank you, man. Thank you. And look, we got to talk a little bit more. To now know you, right? Like, continue to connect and work together in any way we can, man. Because, like I said, if you can be a beacon of light in your community, I want to try to share that as much as we can, because we have to You know, we have the responsibility to make our world a better place. But I think we can do that one soul at a time. So I appreciate you taking the time, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Same.
You just tuned into another episode of the For Fit Fatherhood podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you once again for listening. If you haven't already, go ahead and follow me at You Can Call Me Coach on Instagram. Also follow the podcast at For Fit Fatherhood, the number 4 and the letter U on You Can Call Me Coach. Go ahead and flip over to the next episode, man. I know you love this one, so you'll probably love the next one. Excited for you guys to hear it.